hello, fellow baseball nerds, and a big warm welcome. You're watching Season 6, Episode 1 of the Johnny and Josh Show. What a great pleasure to have your company. As you can probably already guess, I am certainly not in the UK. Just like Major League Baseball, I've decided to kick off my season from abroad. I am in Hong Kong as part of the Hong Kong Rugby Sevens. I've got my name is Doddy Weir Foundation top on, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome from all corners of the earth my baseball brothers. It's JC, Big Davey Lingle, and Eric, the producer. Boys, what a pleasure to see you all.
So I'm looking around the Zoom, and I think the offseason did much worse for me than you guys. Y'all look really good, and I look like I just rolled out of bed and, you know, I have hobo status.
Doddy, of course, as we know, the great Scottish rugby player, boys, who very sadly died of MND, but for the 6 years from his diagnosis, what he did, the amount of money that he's raised, and his legacy is so strong, guys, that people are still raising money in his memory, keeping the foundation going. The event that I did on Thursday night here in Hong Kong, guys, they raised $500,000. The people of Hong Kong, incredibly generous, incredibly supportive. I've just, before we go any further, I've got to say hello to John, who I met today, American John. We talked baseball, big Toronto Blue Jays fan. I said, John, I've got to go and do a podcast. He was so excited. He took the details. He said, I'm going to be listening to the Johnny and Josh Show. So we have a new listener. His name is John. He's out here in Hong Kong. Great to have you on board,
John. That's great. We're up to seven now. Great.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say six. I don't know where you got seven from.
is this the first? Are we in four different time zones?
We are. Well, we've done that before, but this first. I think this is the furthest span of where we all are in different areas.
Yeah. What amazes me though is everybody's Wi-Fi seems to be working, which is an absolute first.
All right, moving
on. Thanks for jinxing us.
I'm trying not to jinx. Anyway, okay, boys. Right, look, we've done the catch-up. It's great to have you back. Always a joy catch up with my baseball brothers. Lots to talk about. Obviously, for all our listeners, if you are watching on YouTube, you'll have noticed that that Eric's got his brand-new T-shirt. Is it like an annual event, buying a new T-shirt, Eric?
And actually, I know you probably will recognize this T-shirt. It says Spinal Tap on it. A movie which you still have not watched 6 years later after us chastising you for not even knowing what the hell Spinal Tap is, even though I sent you a bazillion DVDs to your door. But moving on,
You sent me three, and guess what? I haven't got a CD player. DVD player. Sorry, I forgot to mention that to you.
Okay, I'll send it to you an 8-track. All right, moving on.
Put it in your CD-ROM.
Okay. Well, of course, we're listening. You're listening to the Johnny and Josh Show. We need to big up the social media. None of us understand it. All we're going to do is just point at the bottom of the screen. There's some, subscribe, some like buttons. Do whatever you got to do. We're not going to force you. It's just great to have your company. Now, Eric, trivia. Let's continue the tradition of old. This is Season 6, Episode 1. What is Eric's trivia for this, the first episode of this new season?
Since we're getting old and catching up to Johnny, we are going to do a trivia question about age, actually. And I will actually give you a choice of four, since there's four of us today. And it will deal with which one of these four players actually hit a home run on their 40th birthday. Now, not many, ball players hit, the big 4-0 in their MLB career. But which one of these four hit a home run on their 40th birthday? Which is quite a nice birthday gift for themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Is it A, Ricky Henderson? Or is it B, some guy called Chipper Jones?
Okay.
Or is it C, Joey Votto, a man of good Canadian stock? Or is it D, Ichiro?
Okay.
So which one of those four players has managed to hit a home run on their 40th birthday in their Major League Baseball career? Answer later on in the show.
I'd just like to point out, I know the answer to this.
Okay, interesting.
Okay. That's what you think. We'll come back. We will, for any listeners out there that want to know the answer, we will let you have the answer before the end of the show, but you've got to stay with us. Right, let's kick things off. Lead batters up. It's first batter, of course, is the LA Dodgers, the reigning champions. They've come out of the blocks. They're 5-0. And the big question is this bad for baseball? Are they the equivalent of the All Blacks in rugby? It gets boring when the same team always wins. They've come out of the blocks. They've got four MVPs in their lineup. They've got so much money. The whole sort of tax threshold doesn't seem to be working. They just seem able to just stockpile the talent that's out there. Dull, 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 boys.
I mean, I don't think so. And this is what people don't grasp about the length of the season, the tightness of the playoffs, which is they may even win. You know, I was thinking the other day about the 1906 Chicago Cubs. They won 116 games. The Mariners, that team that won 116 games, neither of those teams won the World Series. Just because you have a great team, just because you can work your way through the regular season, does not reflect multiple World Series championships. So until they've won three or four in a row, you know, it's okay. Let them go after it. I think it creates a better narrative, to be honest, that you have this team that is the great Goliath, and it allows for more Davids to come and knock them down.
It's an interesting point, because you have to go back to the Yankees to find a team that's been consecutive champions of the World Series. And you know, that's over an extensive period of time. And your point is good as well, because this modern-day Dodgers, they won 111 games in 2022, and they didn't win the World Series. So, yeah, I mean, they may be consistently in the playoffs, but Dave, that doesn't mean anything. You're a Mets fan. You'd give anything for the odd playoff appearance.
I don't know if you know this, but we were in the playoffs last year. I don't know if
you
remember
that.
Yeah,
first time in ages.
Well, no. First time since 2 years prior to that. But that's okay. But, you know, to Josh, you know, I can argue this both ways. To Josh's point, money doesn't always buy you a pennant. We, you know, we saw the Mets spend, you know, well over $200 million and you know, lose a ton of games in 2023. We're a huge embarrassment and a total S show. So you don't know if it's going to work. It takes a great front office guy like the Dodgers have to make it work. But the problem I have with this is the deferring of money, like with Ohtani, whose enormous contract is only charging their payroll $2 million a year for the foreseeable future, which is ridiculous. And whether you like it or not, all of this is leading up to like labor mayhem in a couple of years. After next season, it's going to be, you know, we'll be lucky to get a baseball season out of this, because I think it's going to split owners. There's going to be calls for a salary cap, which we know the union will never give. And baseball, I think, has a lot of problems as a result of this, because owners have always managed to stick together, but I'm not so sure they're going to stick together this time.
JC, it does beg the question, when you consider what the Yankees used to do when they had the biggest payroll by quite some margin, and now the Dodgers have the biggest payroll by quite some margin, are we now in danger of the Dodgers just becoming the NL version of the Yankees, i.e. the evil empire? Is it going to be that team that all the baseball neutrals hate?
I mean, I think so. I think for a couple of reasons. One is that whenever a player comes on the free agent market, they want to go to LA in a way that I don't think was even the case with New York. I think that there was the prestige of playing for the Yankees, but living in LA is, along with the prestige of the Dodgers, gives them two levels. So it's frustrating when Roki Sasaki comes onto the market and you feel like he's going that way. He's not going to go to the Blue Jays because he wants to go that way. The other big issue about money is less about the big stars and more about the depth, which is that when you have that much money, not only are you going to get the big stars, but when you get near the trading deadline, you can trade and take on money. And that's always the big question. If you're willing to deal with the luxury tax, if you're willing to pay that extra, you can fill holes. And that, to me, is always the issue. That's the issue with football, right, in the UK, which is it's not about just the stars. It's about when you have an injury, you're easily able to fill them. I think those are the two factors that make it really frustrating if you're a fan of another team and you see the Dodgers doing what they're doing.
But the big change is, Johnny, the big change is that the Japanese players want to play in LA. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? They want to be there, and you can't tell them where to go. No. So that's the problem, is that you have these tremendous talents coming over in the prime of their careers, and they want to play in Los Angeles, and the Dodgers are fine, happy to have them.
Dave, JC just referenced the luxury tax, and my sense was that the luxury tax was all about how to avoid having a salary cap but having the same impact. Clearly, it isn't having the impact that they desired or needed. So, do you think a salary cap is almost inevitable to keep the leagues competitive?
It's not going to happen, right? Because the Players Association will veto it every time. Because that's the whole reason we haven't had a salary cap yet, which is that players want to make sure that they're unfettered at the top end of the marketplace. So unless there's some sort of trade-off that's going to occur, I don't even know what they could give them in order to equalize that. I just don't see it happening.
Is there a danger that Major League Baseball will become like Scottish football, where there's literally it's a done deal who's going to win or who's certainly going to be in a chance with winning? And when you lose that competitive element, it's like European football. You know, everybody knows who's going to win La Liga. Everybody knows who's going to win Serie A. There's, you know, the options are one or other. And you've got all these Major League Baseball teams, and you could wipe out 20 plus of them before the season's even started.
Well, there's a couple of differences, and first of all, that's because the teams maintain control of the players for 6 or 7 years when they come into the league. So that's a big difference when you talk about Scottish football, for example. But the only thing that could force a salary cap, I agree with Josh. Look, they've held off a salary cap since day one. It's been the number one goal of the MLB players' unions to avoid a salary cap. But the difference this time, potentially, is there's a window because MLB is about to have a television revenue problem. So if MLB, who just opted out along with ESPN, what they call a co-opting out of the final years of their television contract, if MLB are unable to make up that revenue and revenues just go down, the players can't just keep asking for more money because the big payers are the networks. So this we have to see how this plays out. This is a huge X factor.
Just to add one point too about the competitive nature, Johnny, which is that the big difference with Major League Baseball is the playoff system. So perhaps you're going to see the Dodgers winning 100 plus games every year, but winning the World Series is a completely different beast. The playoff system, the short series, you always have to remember that the absolute worst team in baseball is going to win one out of every three games they play. They're going to win series against good teams. Even the disparity is not so great from the greatest to the worst in terms of the spectrum. So I think that you're going to continue to see a diversity of teams, maybe not getting the playoffs, but winning the World Series for sure.
Okay, well let's move on from obviously question mark about
Yeah,
the
well, yeah. By
Dodgers
the way,
to
thanks for asking about my input. By the way, it's been
well, no,
lots.
because I wanted to come to you to talk about a subject that you're so passionate on, and I was going to throw to you
Yeah,
first.
he
Well,
doesn't
no,
know
but
anything about that.
we
So
all
no,
know where we're going now.
no, hang on, hang on, hang on. Because David hit something on the head there about MLB with TV revenue and it being so important. And this, did anyone notice? I'm sure all you baseball fans out there did notice the meltdown of not being able to watch opening games on various devices continue.
Right, so the
Look.
meltdown of the MLB app. Now, obviously, you were more on top of this, Dave and JC, being actually stateside. So, what was the story? Have they offered explanations?
I haven't heard an explanation, but once upon a time, MLB AM, which is Major League Baseball Advanced Media, was the darling of the streaming world, not just in baseball, but throughout. And that's why they were sold to Disney. But on opening day, they melted down completely. Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it was going crazy because nobody could get on the app. The app wasn't working on any platform. It wasn't working on Apple. It wasn't working on Roku. Wasn't working on sets, computers, anywhere, phones. And especially the Mets, who play on a network called SNY, had recently moved their network onto the app so you could watch it on the app instead of having to find this weird app. So at one point, I was turning on the Mets game and it said that I was outside of the United States. That's how messed up it was. And I wasn't the only one. So, It's fine because I listened to Howie Rose on the radio, and I'm sure lots of people just listen on the radio. But if you're MLB and you're struggling to attract young people, and this is opening day, this is one of the crown jewels of all of your events, you cannot not have your app go down on opening day. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. I mean, it's a tremendous problem.
Yeah. And no explanation been offered. You haven't seen anything.
I haven't checked in on it because I was so furious.
Right.
But I mean, we know what happened. They weren't ready, and what's the only excuse can be we weren't ready. I'm sure it was not something out of their control,
And
because
no,
again, you're talking about these guys are leading edge when it comes to this stuff.
and
They're
not,
the guys who've done all of it.
and not that I advocated, but I even struggled finding being able to watch games on illegal streaming services because it was all interconnected somehow. So
How dare you?
no, not that I no, hey, kids don't take drugs, don't stream illegally.
Okay,
This is a
well,
family show.
it's a family
So
show.
obviously what was under MLB's power and control was the decision to start the season with interleague games. Now we all share varying
Yes.
views on interleague baseball. Eric, everybody knows your own personal feelings on this. You are massively anti. You're very old school. And now they've made it even worse for you because it's bad enough having interleague series in your mind mid-season, but to have it to open the season, how furious are you about that?
If someone were to ask me, Eric, if you can find a way to cure cancer or get rid of interleague games, I'd probably say, yeah, cure cancer first. But I'd pause. I'd have to think about it
I'd be
twice.
scared.
I'd
I
probably think about it
thought
twice.
it was about to be canceled.
Oh my God.
but
I mean,
um,
it's just math, though, Eric. I mean, you got 15. Somebody has to play an interleague game.
But again, it's like it's why so Dodgers have their home opener in LA. Yay, the ring ceremony. The banner goes up and you're play, not playing anybody in your division. You're playing the Detroit Tigers who hey, which I'm fine, but it's
Only
like
old people care. Yeah,
don't that ship has sailed, Eric, like
Okay,
years
all right.
ago.
So
You
okay. So
you
hey,
gotta let it go, buddy.
who's got the AL record for most home runs? Doesn't matter because it's AL NL doesn't matter anymore. It's all the one United L. How was that? It's called United League. Okay. Why is
Basically.
there an AL and an LL? It's ridiculous. So
A lot of people are asking that question.
enough of
Guys,
these play it in July and dedicate the entire month of June, okay, or August, interleague only. Everything else back to normal. Everybody go back to their own divisions, and then make the All-Star game more worth it. Make the matchup at the World Series more worth it. And sometimes you'd have like the World Series matchup as the home opener the season after. That's ridiculous.
But I mean, even you look at the divisions, they're so arbitrary at this point anyway, right? I mean, they're vaguely regionally based, but Houston's in the West. I mean,
Okay,
it's
wait,
we're
which league?
past that, Eric. We're
Which league is
past
it?
it.
Which league is harder to play in, the NL
But
or
it's
the
always
AL?
been like that. Remember, we had the Braves in the West. It's always been like that
Yeah,
to a certain degree.
that's my point, Dave, is
doesn't.
that
It, people talk about the power hitting the American League versus the pitching of the National League. In
That's
the
all
past.
gone. The high strike, the strike zone, everything, that's all gone.
Yeah. Once the DH was the final the
That's
final nail
it.
in the coffin when they went to the National League. It's over.
That was it.
It's over. You got to find new joy in your baseball viewing pleasure
No
there.
interleague on opening day. That's what I have on
We just got
opening
to get
week.
the teams to hit over 250. That's what we need to work out. What was it, Josh, last year? Four or six teams hit over 250?
Yeah, it's the three true outcomes has become baseball, right? The strikeout, the home run,
Okay,
or
so and
the walk.
if you're in second place and your playoff push and the team that's above you by 4 games are playing a lower league lower to team and the doldrums in the other league, the win percentage doesn't help your cause and the games behind doesn't help your cause. I'm still.
That's true in the Premier League. That's true in, NFL. That's true in every league now. That is the nature of sport now. It has evolved to this point for better or for worse, and you got to pick up your big boy pants and enjoy what you can enjoy out of the game.
Where do you
All.
get your big boy pants? Because I need some. Yeah,
Anyways,
I
in conclusion, fuck interleague. Moving on.
Ooh,
Oh
wow.
my.
And
I'm not going to
Oh
bleep
my
that either. So
God.
yeah, it's
Family show.
not
Not
anymore.
guys.
I'm angry.
One thing none of you have mentioned is one of the other changes that's been made from an interleague perspective this season is that prime interleague rivals will now play six games versus each other, i.e. 2-3-game series, as opposed to four games from
Are
previous
the
seasons.
Mets are playing the Yankees six times this year?
Well,
I didn't
that's
know
what it's
about that.
saying. That is what it's saying. Now, I think that's a great thing. If they are prime interleague rivals, I think that's a good thing that they're going to play a bit more
Well,
often. They're going to
that's not
play on some of the
unprecedented, though. They did that before.
I mean, the one issue with that, though, is it creates unbalanced schedules, right? It's not, is it fair for the Mets to have to square off against the Yankees where, like, who are the Rockies playing, you know, or who's getting to play the Rockies in that, you know, all of a sudden it becomes a little unfair.
I can't wait for that interleague rivalry between Milwaukee and in, I don't know, Cincinnati or whoever. It's, screw them. Anyways, moving on.
Okay,
I can't
there are a
remember, like,
couple of.
is
I'm reading
Houston
through
in the AL or
the
the NL? I still have the problem there.
exact. Forget it. Just move it on.
Okay.
We're so old.
Third batter's up, and I can't believe that this batter's still allowed to swing. It's the Badu watch, a view to
Oh my
Akil
God.
Badu. We're not still, surely, we're not
I
still
mean,
doing the
hey,
view.
how could I know? It's become tradition now, right?
You
It's
spent all this time bitching about interleague, and then you go back to Akil Badu. I mean, your
you
desperation
had a
for
whole
clinging to the
winter.
past.
You had a
One.
whole winter to replace this segment.
And what have I done? I follow the guy over spring training. It's like, hey, he's going to break into the Detroit Tigers lineup and hit a grand
You're
slam on opening
obsessed.
day against the Dodgers, which in a stupid interleague matchup. And what happens? He breaks his hand, and he's got to go through he's a fractured bone in his hand.
Oh,
He's got to
no.
go through
That's terrible.
surgery, so he's out for at least 2 or 3 months. So there won't be any Badu watch for the next 2 or 3 months ish, maybe.
Can we not just find another player to watch?
Okay, find me one. And until then, is a view to Akil is still
I think
alive and well.
you need to find the Dodgers.
I like Dane Myers with the Marlins. That's my choice. They call him Great Dane. He was a pitcher in the minor league system, thought he was going to wash out, then became a hitter, had a walk-off hit yesterday.
But then the manager says, I'll never play the Dane. So that's
Exactly. See,
too obscure of a
no,
reference,
I
sorry.
like it. I like it. I like a little Hamlet. Come on, you know, we
Hey.
got a little,
You
Come on,
need to
keep
watch Mookie Betts because the guy almost disappeared. He lost like 20 something pounds, and he's not a guy who had 20 pounds to lose. He had some mystery illness, and I mean, he's playing. He didn't play last night, but a little scary actually.
Yeah, no, it's some sort of virus he had that he had to they got flown back from Japan for. Yes.
And he's not a big guy. When he gets like guy like that loses 20 pounds, where does he lose it?
Okay, well, I think that's the first batter struck out. Let's move on. Second batter up. It's prediction time, boys. That moment where we all think we know what we're talking about, and at the end of the season, we discover that none of us know what we're talking about.
Like when
How are we
Johnny,
going to do this, Eric?
well, last year you predicted the White Sox to win the World Series, so yeah, let's start off with you, Johnny. Let's keep it zippy. I don't want a novel for each division. Just tell us your picks.
You want me to run through the whole lot, yeah?
Just gives 1, 2, 3.
Okay. American League. I'm going to stick with Baltimore. I went Baltimore last season, and despite the Yankees, four MVPs in their lineup, I hate the Yankees, so I'm going with Baltimore. I'd love to see the Orioles win the division. In Central, I think the pitching means that I'm going to be a Cleveland fan. I'm going to stick with Cleveland. The AL West, whew, I struggle with the AL West. I like Seattle's pitching this year, and even though they've got off to a slow start, I'm going to retain some faith in Seattle. National League, I know the Braves have started 0-3. I think we've been unlucky. Tough matchup with the Padres. I'm convinced if Ronald comes back in May as healthy as everyone hopes he will, then we're still the team to beat. So I'm going to stick with my mighty Braves. In the Central, I literally don't have a clue. I think any one of them could win it. I'm probably going to go with the Cubs, and I have no reason for justifying that decision. And the NL West, as good as I think the Padres might be this season, and the D-backs obviously did really well last season, you can't see beyond the Dodgers. So I'm sticking with the Dodgers.
And
JC?
any dark horses in there for you in either league?
We'll come back to the dark horse. Let's talk divisions first, and
All
then
right,
we'll
all
all
right,
talk
all
dark
right. I'm,
horses.
you're the producer, all right? Josh?
You want me to do the dark horse
No,
now?
let's go to Josh. You're right. Let's do Josh.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go also with the Orioles in the AL East. I like Sugano a lot. And I think that if he can step in for Burns from last year, that team's going to have enough offense to get by. In the Central, I think I'm going to go with the Royals. Obviously, offensively with Bobby Witt Jr., they've got something there. Cole Ragans is really good. You got, a reasonably good pitching rotation.
Seth
Tigers are
Lugo.
Seth Lugo with this curveball. Yep. Them and the Tigers, really close. Skuball is so good. So I could go either way there. In the West, I'm going to go with a bit of a dark horse. I'm going to go with the Mariners. I like Victor Robles at the top of that lineup. I think if they can play a little better offensively than they did last year, which I think is within the realm of possibilities, I think they could be a surprise there. In the East, just because I can't go with the Braves and give Johnny that satisfaction, I'm going to go with the Phils. Jesus Luzardo, he's opening day start, he didn't their opening day, but his first game of the season struck out 11. If he's the pitcher that he can be at the best, that's going to give them that kind of anchor. In the Central, I'm also going to go with a little bit of a dark horse. I'm going to go with the Reds. I think their pitching is not that bad this year. Their offense is good. I think if you have healthy guys like TJ Friedl and Fraley to go along with, the rest of that lineup, they could be quite good. And then the Dodgers, you just have to go with for the division.
Over to Dave.
Big Dave.
Well, we have the Orioles and the AL East for reasons that have already been pointed out. I mean, I would have liked to see them invest a little bit more heavily in replacing Burns, but they're doing what they're doing, and that's fine. AL Central, I really had no idea. I picked it out of a hat, but I do like the Royals. I think Witt's going to be the MVP because they're going to stop at some point. They're going to stop pitching to Judge, right? So Witt is actually going to win the MVP because he's gonna be able to swing. AL West is gonna be Texas. Their infield is stacked. They don't know who the closer is. They do have some issues, but that division, it's kind of like the AL South, AFC South. And at least I'm going with the Phillies, even though they have a lot of their offensive cores over 30, and I do think that team will break down at some point. It's not gonna be this year. It might be in a couple of years down the road, but there's sense of urgency there. They have to win. Those guys have to win this year. No question about that. NL Central, it's the Cubs by default. Milwaukee has been shaved down, and the Cardinals will, I don't see any threat. The Reds could be a lot of fun though, to be fair. NL West, I did for the Guardian. I did pick the Rockies for three quarters of my paragraph, and then I just wanted to see if people were paying attention. But I think we know who's winning the. And imagine they didn't. I mean, imagine the Dodgers did not win the NL West.
I will
That
love it.
wouldn't it be incredible? That would be
Yes.
amazing if they didn't. I'd love to see it. I mean, it would be fun.
Eric?
All right. Well, listen, unfortunately, I think the Yankees are gonna dominate the AL East, which much to the chagrin of Mets fans and David. And but the AL Central is a tough one. I mean, I think that the Tigers are lucky last season. Like AJ Hinch did a very good job, but it was a lot of
Little
luck.
ahead of schedule, Eric. Little ahead of schedule.
The rebuilding process peaked a bit too soon. Are we there yet as far as the Tigers are concerned? No. So I will actually go to the Royals for the AL Central. The AL West, well, it's not going to be Oakland, and it won't be the Athletics. See what I did there? Yeah. It won't be Sacramento. Is it? Although those ports,
Well,
my heart
great.
goes out to Athletics fans, and so yeah, I'll go Mariners, AL West. But as far as the National League is concerned, again, it's like interleague means nothing. The Phillies are, I think, I'm unfortunately gonna be ahead of the Mets. The NL Central, I'm gonna stick with the Milwaukee Brewers. They're gonna turn it around. Yeah, you heard it here first. And then the NL West, the wheels will fall off the Dodgers. Yeah, you heard it here first. And the Padres
Wow.
will nip it at the end of the season to gain first place in the National League West. I did say that last year as well, and it didn't happen, but strange
I mean, the big
things.
difference this year with the Dodgers is their depth in starting pitching. I mean, they have seven frontline starting pitchers. So they only need five to six. But, you know, when you have Clayton Kershaw sitting in the wings, have him for healthy starts, you know, as needed, you know,
Just hanging out.
just hanging out, waiting for the call.
It's a new position. It's called just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get paid a lot for just hanging out when you play in LA.
And now let's go to the dark horses quickly. Johnny.
Okay, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but my dark horse this season is Boston in the AL East.
Not
Wouldn't
so
call that's not
dark.
a dark horse.
That's
There's
a
nothing
pretty
dark.
bright horse.
Most people are choosing them to actually win the division, Goldie.
Very
Well, then again,
good.
Rafael Devers, first player to get 10 strikeouts the first three games of the season. So
And Trevor Story, worst contract in baseball, kind of at least a candidate, right? He's got a big
Well, they could be a bust.
yeah, the story has not been fully written on that one yet, Dave. I mean, he's potentially healthy this year and be reasonably good. So,
159 games for $66 million. That's not
all
a
right,
great
Johnny.
payout.
NL Dark Horse, Johnny.
I think I'm going to go with the Reds in a division where I just don't think there's an obvious favorite.
I picked them to win. I mean, the division. I think your
No,
dark horses are not very dark.
actually, I was surprised you picked in the wind, to be honest. But that's, I think they're in a rebuilding
I
situation at
think
the
their
moment.
starting, you know, Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, I think their pitching is a little better than people give them credit for. And that team, if they stay healthy, is offensively underrated.
So, who are your AL and NL dark horses, Josh Chetwynd?
Well, I mean, I'd pick the Mariners to win the division. I think that's a pretty big dark horse right there. And in the National League, I'm going to go if Jarrett Jones were healthy for the Pirates with Skeens and Jones, I would have definitely picked the Pirates. It's hard to do so under the circumstances with him being injured because you really are, you know, a one-headed monster. It's not quite enough. So, you know, Reds. I mean, if we're saying the Reds can be a dark horse for Gouldie, I'll choose him as a dark horse for myself.
All right.
So hang on. Let's not move on any further. So Josh picked the Mariners to win the AL West and the Reds to win the NL Central, and he's picked both of them as his dark horse as well.
Yeah, because they're surprises. I mean, the dark horse just means a team you don't expect to win. So I'm picking them to
So
win.
he's all in on his dark
I'm
horse.
all in. You're playing on the edges, Goldie. You're just like a little whisper, you know, near the fence that you're sitting on.
I mean, you're saying the Seattle Mariners are a dark horse, and yet three of the four of us have chosen them as the division winners.
The Mariners?
Yes, you weren't listening. I chose them, and so
Anyways,
did everyone.
moving on to David with
You
his
think
dark horses.
Julio Rodriguez will learn how to hit again? I mean, Jesus.
He
Anyways.
started, you know, if he doesn't start slow and they get off to a decent start. I like Robles a lot. I like their pitching.
I don't know what happened with him.
David
Johnny,
Langdale.
I'm
Where
gonna
he
go. I'm
dark
going.
horses.
Look, I'm going in with the Athletics, and not to win the division. By the way, it's a dark horse that they make the playoffs,
Yeah.
right? We don't
Oh,
have to.
big
It
time.
doesn't have to be division. You
No,
know,
no, no.
they have thrown. I mean, first of all, their ownership is a complete joke. But they had to spend some money in order to not lose their revenue, right? Their revenue sharing. I think their check. They didn't want to lose their check, so they went out and they got a couple players, you know. They got Severino, who went out and had a great opening day start. You know, who the hell knows? They're playing out there. You know, we have two Major League Baseball teams playing in minor league ballparks, and you don't think this league has problems, but they will be selling out there. They will fill like 14, 15,000, four of which will be sitting on a lawn. But you know, who knows? Crazier things have happened. And I think that if they're kind of in it and hanging around, I think that that ownership will, because they're trying to get shovels in the ground in Las Vegas, which will never happen, by the way. And they're trying to get investors to pay for it. So they're going to have to show that they're a real baseball team to any investors so that they can pay for the rest of their ballpark. I think that they could add down the road and try to make the playoffs.
National League.
Just along those lines, Dave, my team that's like that are the Marlins because I like Alcantara. He's fantastic. I think he could be great. He'll end up getting traded away, but he'll give him some wins to make the Marlins kind of a competitive team for a bit.
How about the D-backs squeezing into the playoffs somehow? I mean, you know, they're not the same team they were a couple of years ago, and they had a down season last year, but
All right, I'll give you that.
I don't really believe in it. I'm just kind of throwing it out there because you can't call the Mets a dark, the Mets are not a dark horse. The teams that I picked to make the playoffs were, the Mets
Yes.
and the Braves, and I think, I had somebody out west. I can't remember who it was. But it's not going to be Arizona. But I think out of all the teams that it could be, maybe Arizona could squeeze in. And again, another team that will invest down the road if they're hanging around.
It's all right. So you got Arizona and Sacramento. Interesting. I just can't you used to say that.
Sacramento.
Just can't used to say that.
No, you're not supposed to say
I know
it.
it's funny. It's like the what's the Harry Potter thing? What's his
It's
name?
verboten, isn't it? It's verboten.
Yes, Voldemort. Okay. Well, in that case, Dark Horse. Funny enough, I was already alluding to this earlier that the Detroit Tigers last year was lucky. It was a mistake. It was a fluke that they made the playoffs, and I think they'll fluke it again this year as my dark horse.
I so disagree with that, Eric. I don't think they're a dark horse at all. Their top three pitchers can almost match with anyone. I mean, you've got Skubal, you've got Flaherty, and you have Reese Olson. I mean, that's
Flaherty's
pretty
so hot and
impressive.
cold, though.
Yes,
Yeah,
but
he looked good. He threw great most of last season. He's had some bad seasons,
it's
but
just
his
he's a nice
slider's
player.
working.
Yeah, but it's just
He's
a bit
okay.
about our batting lineup and no Akil Badu. Now, and National League, yeah, it's there's like David said, it's actually, I'd like to pick the Braves as a dark horse just to piss off Johnny because alluding that they're crap. And but yeah, well, let's see what happens. So no, there's nothing more boring than hearing other people's predictions, including ours. So
Oh, good producing.
there we go. So moving on, Johnny Gould.
Okay, we're at that time, guys. The seventh inning stretch. You. Okay, baseball book of the week. Eric, what have you got for us?
So is it book of the week or book of the month? I know that we are sporadically doing our episodes, but sadly, over the off season, we lost a cherished national treasure, international treasure of baseball. We lost Bob Uecker at the age of 90, 10 days shy of his 91st birthday. Now, Bob Uecker, for those who don't know, he was a hilarious, terrible baseball player, and he lived off that. He was yeah. So today's book of the month or week, whatever you want to call it, is Catcher in the Rye, WRY. See what he did there? Catcher in the Rye. Bob Uecker was a catcher in his heydays of playing with the Milwaukee Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals, and he basically his book says the man who made mediocrity famous, and that's pretty much my motto as well, right? And if you can find, oh, here's the thing: Catcher in the Rye, WRY, is so hard to find, but it's one of the funniest baseball books you'll ever read. Look at the condition of that. I got this. I kept this somehow. And if you go on eBay, Amazon, and all these other reputable book buying online services, it's like 78 pounds, or it's hard to
I'm
find. So if you
surprised that didn't wind up in my mailbox, Aaron.
true, actually, but the thing is, here you go. Like, if you can find Catcher in the Rye at a secondhand bookstore anywhere, by Bob Uecker and Mickey Herskovich, grab it because it's actually a collector's item now. So and also you'll appreciate how hilarious Bob Uecker was and what a national treasure he was in Major League Baseball. International treasure.
He was a legitimate comedian. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Rodney Dangerfield for anyone who remembers. He did this Miller Lite commercial, a beer commercial, where he's coming into the stadium and he gets to say, he's like, "You're in the wrong place, buddy." And he goes, "I must be in the front row." His delivery was great. He ends up, of course, in the nosebleed seats. He was just terribly funny. He would go on Johnny Carson, you know, the old, very famous late night talk show host, and absolutely regale. But what I love about him, that people didn't know, is that he was also like a very forward-thinking person. There's a famous team picture when he played with the St. Louis Cardinals in which he's holding hands with Bob Gibson. And I, you know, at a time where, you know, there might have been sort of racial strife, he was like, screw this. He was a good person,
He got in
funny.
trouble for that a little bit,
He
didn't he?
did. Yep, he
They had to
did.
redo the team photo because of that.
He just was very special figure in baseball. He will not be replaced. He was one of a kind.
There's a couple
Well,
of
Tom, I came
guys that
across him.
you listen to if you know whip around on the app who you want to hear, just to hear them. And Uecker was one of those guys, you know, when Scully was around. And
Well,
Uecker was definitely one of those guys.
and he made the movie Major League. I mean, the greatest lines in
That
that film are
was
from him, just a bit outside.
Yeah,
And not
I
only
mean
that,
that.
and here's one thing for you guys. I dug this out of the archives. I forgot I had this, and when I was reminded after his passing a few months ago, I have a Bob Uecker alarm clock.
Love it.
Unfortunately, the batteries don't seem to work, and it has all his famous catchphrases in there to wake you
Ball
up with.
eight.
But it's baby. It's Bob Uecker. It's a Bob Uecker alarm clock, and somehow I just got to find a way to fix it. But yes, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm holding up a Bob Uecker alarm clock.
It's my first exposure to him was when he played Harry Doyle in Major League. And I mean, you talk about his humor, JC, and that came across so well in the movie. Where does he sit in the pantheon of truly great, iconic baseball commentators?
Good question.
I mean, he's not on Mount Rushmore, right? But he is amongst the top tier, for sure.
I mean, hey, I grew up with him as well. He was a voice on ABC Monday Night Baseball, which we got across the Canadian border, which is great because that's where I watched that famous Mark Fitterich Detroit Tigers game that pretty much converted me to baseball. You had Bob Uecker, you had Mark Fitterich. That's what's not to like. But yeah,
Don't forget
sad
the
he missed.
sitcoms, right, Eric? All the
Oh,
sitcoms.
yeah.
There you go. Exactly. It's
Was it Mr.
Mr.
Belvedere?
Belvedere.
Mr.
Yeah.
Belvedere.
I never really watched it, but I did just for Bob Uecker, I would tune
A
in.
big show, though. Big
Yeah.
enough.
Yeah. He found the time with baseball and comedy and Johnny Carson appearances. He just somehow he was part of
Mr.
baseball.
Everything.
Mr. Everything.
And a filthy mouth as well.
So yeah,
Filthy,
so
yeah.
rest in peace, Bob
Off the
Uecker.
air.
Rest in peace, Bob Uecker. If you can find Catcher in the Rye, Wry, see what he did there. Grab it as fast as you can before the price goes up. It's hard to find.
Awesome. Moving on, baseball cultural reference. What have you got for us this week, Art?
Well, sadly, not that I want to be more morbid, but we lost somebody else in the history of baseball annals of say annals. Sorry, it's a family show. Betty Bonney, aka Judy Johnson, as well as her was her stage name, a songstress who passed away recently at the age of 100 years old. The past few years,
Wow.
David Langell and I were trying to track her down because we found out she's still alive at the age of 98, 99, and sadly we've lost her at the age of 100.
But what did she sing, Eric?
Well, she came out with this little song.
Started baseball's famous streak that's got us all aglow. He's just a man and not a freak. Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you and I.
He tied the mark at 44, July the 1st, you know. Since then, he's hit a good 12 more, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you on our side.
From coast to coast, that's all you'll hear of Joe, the one-man show. He's glorified the horse-hide sphere, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
And she was
Joe
only
DiMaggio,
17 years old when she sang that song. Did you know that? There you go. So yeah, so and that song is a classic song. Of if you have a top 20 of famous baseball songs, Jolton Joe DiMaggio would be on that list, I'd say. So
Top
yes,
20 of famous baseball songs, but not top 20 as in a top 20 hit.
it came out in 1941, just after his hitting streak. Yeah, no, it did. I don't think it did hit the charts.
No, but any baseball fan, I mean, that's up there. I mean,
That's
that
up
is
there.
a,
Exactly.
that is a badass riff and some very, very odd lyrics. He's just a man, but not a freak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What is
Hey,
that?
Eric, just we're offering some condolences. Can we add one more to the list, which
Of
is someone
course.
who passed, who was very important to British baseball, which was Margaret Borley,
Margaret Borley.
who was a very prominent coach in the Tunbridge Wells area. She was right around 100 as well too. Just passed recently. Very meaningful for the British baseball community.
Absolutely. Well, rest in peace, Margaret Burley. You were an icon, and if it wasn't for Margaret Burley, there wouldn't be much baseball in the UK at all.
Okay, so very sad on three levels. Rest in peace to Bob, to Betty, and to Margaret. Right, JC, we need time now for this segment that we like to call Josh's House of Cards. For you baseball card collectors, this man is the ultimate collector. JC, what is the card we're focusing on for this series? Six, episode one.
Yeah, Goalie. So just a reminder for people who aren't familiar with this segment, what I do is I take a generally pre-war card, I tell the story behind the card set briefly, and then it's usually a player who is of some interest, but perhaps you don't know them. So the card set that I'm doing this for this episode is the T205 set. This was a set that came out in 1911, and I will put it on the screen for those who are wanting to look at it. I love this set. It has sort of a gold outline, and these are all drawn profiles of players from this era. So they're all really cool pictures. You want to see what the players look like. This is probably the best set for that. There are no action shots. It's all of these sort of profile pictures. My player who I'm talking about for this set is Harry Steinfeld. Harry Steinfeld. Do you guys know who Harry Steinfeld is?
Nope.
Doesn't ring a
Okay.
bell. Well, I will enlighten you.
No
To do
relation
so,
to Seinfeld.
no, not Steinfeld, Steinfeld. So,
Oh, Steinfeld. Thank you.
right. So, in order to put it in context, we need to step back a moment to talk about great baseball literature. Okay, so we all know that probably Casey at the Bat's the greatest baseball poem, maybe. Take me out to the ball game. But in that pantheon, there is a very famous poem. Dave may know it. Eric may know it, Johnny. You probably don't know it. It was called A Baseball Sad Lexicon, and it was written by Franklin Pierce Adams. It's really short. I'll read it to you very quickly because once I start reading to you, you'll probably know this one. So these are the saddest possible words: Tinkers to Avers to Chance, trio of bear cubs and fleeter than birds, Tinker and Evers and Chance. Ruthlessly pricking a gonfalon bubble, making a giant hit into a double, words that are heavy with nothing but trouble. Tinker to Evers to Chance. So this is a really famous poem. The Tinkers, I always used to thought it was Evers, but it was Evers. Tinkers to Evers to Chance. It was just one of those phrases that really rolled off the tongue. If you don't know who they are, you got Joe Tinker, who played a shortstop for the Cubs in their heyday, which was the first decade of the 20th century, Johnny Evers and Frank Chance. So shortstop, second base, and first base, they were a great double play combo. But it's all about what's in a name, right? Because the other infielder on that team that won two World Series, went to four World Series, was Harry Steinfeld, our good friend Harry. I often wonder whether if Harry had a better name and somehow gotten it in this poem, he might have been a Hall of Famer. Because Tinkers, Evers, and Chance all made it in the Hall of Fame, none of whom, with the exception of probably Frank Chance, probably had the type of WAR and advanced metrics tricks we would have expected, but they were so famous from this poem. Now, Harry Steinfeld was every bit the player that those guys were at his heyday. In 1906, he led that team with the number of RBIs, a number of hits on that team. He was second in the league in batting average. He had a 7 WAR that season, had overall a 30 WAR in his career, which isn't necessarily a Hall of Famer, I'll admit it, but better than guys like Freddie Lindstrom, who did go to the Hall of Fame, who was another third baseman. And he was considered one of the best defensive players of his era. And yet, the reason we don't know him is because he had stuck with the name Steinfeld instead of something a little bit more poetic like Tinkers to Evers to Chance.
That's a great
Oh,
story.
I like that
great
story.
story.
But wait, was he a third baseman?
Love
Was
it,
he?
buddy.
He was the third baseman, right? So Tinker played short, Evers played second base, and Chance played first base. They played together 5 years in that infield.
Yep. Buddy, in true Antique Roadshow, you can't finish a story like that and not tell us what the value of the card is.
I can't remember what I paid for it. I know all the cards I purchased are under $100, so I think it was probably in the $60 to $70 range.
And
it's probably worth, you know, I always sort of aim for those really good deals, so it's probably worth about 110, something like that. Condition has a lot to do with it. This is a 2 on the level of 1 to 10, so it's hard to find cards that are really great condition, but a 2 is considered decent condition. It's got nice, you know, a lot of the cards in this era didn't have a lot of information on the back. I'll do the T206, which is the sort of grand set at some other point. But that just has like the tobacco company. This had statistics and a nice little write-up about Steinfeld and all the other players from that set.
So now because of this show,
1906 was a beast.
He was a beast. 1906. His 1906 year, he was a beast. He sort of started to tail off a little bit, but he was considered Alfred Spink, the Spink Award, which is the award given to the best journalist in baseball. It's a Hall of Fame award. He considered Steinfeld probably the best defensive third baseman of that era. So, you know, third baseman, as we all know, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, are often forgotten in a way the catchers are too. They're the two positions.
Just not many of them.
Not many of them that are considered great, but if for his time, he was really considered one of the better ones, but he's completely forgotten because he didn't make it into the poem.
Right. So now because of this show, we've, you know, potentially now you know, giving him more cred, that card might go up in value because we're so viral.
Great stuff, buddy. Love that. Love that. Love this Josh's House of Cards. Great add-on to the program. Right. Trivia. Eric, we've been holding everybody at bay. We need a quick reminder of the question, please.
Yes, I asked you earlier, because we are old farts, which one of these four players managed to hit a home run on their 40th birthday in their professional Major League Baseball career? Was it A, Ricky Henderson, B, Chipper Jones, C, Joey Votto, or D, Ichiro? I'll go with
Should I go first, guys?
David, you go first. Which one of those four? What?
Isn't it always Ichiro? Isn't that the rule of the show?
Or is
the rule of Ichiro?
The rule of Ichiro could also be the rule of red herrings. You never know.
I gotta go with Ichiro.
Ichiro, okay. Not known for a real home run hitter, but that maybe that's why I put him in there. Okay, well we'll go to Johnny next.
Okay, I'm going down the logic route. So Ricky Henderson, Ichiro, renowned for stealing bases, leadoffs, not big power hitters, not big home number numbers.
Ricky
so
can
I'm
hit.
ruling,
Ricky
so can I'm ruling hit. The two of them out. I'm ruling the two of them out. Obviously, we all know Chipper Jones, third baseman, absolute legend, my favorite player of all time. Dated a waitress from Hooters. Doesn't get any better than that. Obviously, hit home runs, but his form fell off with injuries as he got older. And I think you've thrown him in deliberately to get me to say Chipper. So on that basis, we all know Joey Votto played beyond his 40s. We all know he was a home run hitter. His batting average wasn't great, but he hit a shed load of home runs even when he was old. So for me, the obvious choice is Joey Votto.
Interesting. Okay. Well, by the way, the Joey Votto's batting average was hovering around 300 when he retired. So, but
yes.
Okay. Was it?
Yes.
Yes. He's known for his batting average.
And lastly, Josh Chetwin. What is your guess?
Yeah, well, we know it's not Ricky Henderson. He was born in December. So unless baseball changed its season, he wasn't in a home run on his birthday. This is actually, I think, a trick question there, my man. If I remember correctly, Gouldy is partially right in that Joey Votto did hit a homer on his 40th, but shockingly did not remember that Chipper Jones did the same thing. He also hit a home run on his 40s. I think there are two right answers on this one.
Well, let me tell you right now. Ricky Henderson and Ichiro did not correctly hit a home run on their 40th birthday. But Chipper Jones did.
Damn!
But you know what, Johnny?
That is unbelievable.
Do you know what, Johnny? So did Joey Votto. I put two answers in there.
Let me just get this straight.
I put two answers there. Hopefully, you pick either Ricky or Ichiro.
Thrown in
two correct and two wrong answers.
You never said there was more than one right answer, so you've misled us. It was a trick question, and yet Josh is so good at this that even though it was a trick question, you still didn't trick him. He still didn't fall for the curveball. And the only person who missed by a proverbial mile is my favorite Mets fan.
So, but Gordon, now you didn't get Chipper Jones. He's your favorite player.
Yeah, that, you so didn't know that. I mean, this question is for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's why I put it in.
You, not me.
He threw you a softball, Gouldy, and you whiffed on the most important player in your life.
Right. It's that time. Unfortunately, we've got to call a halt to proceedings. It's great having your company. Thank you to all our listeners on the Johnny and Josh Show. As always, we need to build up the socials. Do check us out on all your social media platforms. You've got the like buttons at the bottom of the screen. Press accordingly. Don't forget to check out the Nat Coombs Show as well. At the NC Show, all part of the same stable. Great to have your company, boys. Thank you for joining us. JC?
Always a pleasure, Gouldy. Great to see you. Great to have Dave. Dave on the first show of the year. That's big league right there, man.
That is big league.
He's a gamer.
I'm here for you.
We leave you in honor of Betty Bonnie with Jolton Joe DiMaggio. You've been listening to the Johnny and Josh Show, Season 6, Episode 1. Till next time, keep it hardcore.
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
We need a hit, so here I go.
Ball one.
Hey!
Ball two.
Hey!
Strike one.
Ooh!
Just a man and not a freak, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you and I.
He tied the mark at 44, July the 1st, you know. Since then he's hit a good 12 more, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you and I.
From coast to coast, that's all you'll hear of Joe, the one-man show. He's glorified the horse-hide sphere, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you and I.
He'll live in baseball's Hall of Fame, he got there blow by blow. Our kids will tell their kids his name, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
We dream of Joey with the line from back. Joe DiMaggio,
we want you on our side. Of how they stopped our Joe. One night in Cleveland, oh, oh, oh. Goodbye, Street DiMaggio.
Goodbye, Street DiMaggio.